Let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
Worship is so important. It's so important that we discuss it as we get ready to go into this new year, and as we get ready to walk into a new season of life. God wants us focused on worship. Our worship and praise to God is the most important thing that we do in life. That connection, that one-on-one connection with God, is critical to our relationship with Him. If we don't worship Him, we don't really have a relationship with Him. God is seeking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's searching out the worshipers, and God wants us to be worshipers. He doesn't want us to be worried about our circumstances. He wants us to worship Him. God longs for us to worship. Revelations 4:11, Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive the glory and the honor and dominion, for you created all things, and by your will they were brought into being and were created. Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive the glory and honor and dominion, for you created all things. God is worthy of worship. God is worthy of worship. And many times we get confused about what worship is. Many times we think it's just when we come in to church and we sing the songs, and or we stand there while somebody else sings the songs. But that is not worship. That's how we worship. But God is looking for a lifestyle of worship where we key in and we focus in on God, and we don't get distracted by this or that or any other circumstance, but we are just in communication, in communion with God, worshiping Him, thanking Him, giving Him praise and glory for who He is. Many times we tie worship into what He does. But God doesn't just want us to worship Him because He does stuff for us. God wants us to worship Him simply because He is God. He is seeking those to worship. He is seeking those to bring glory and honor and praise and exalt God and to please God. God is looking for worship. He's looking for worshipers. Worship feeds the heart of God. We had some company over this weekend. Some of Josh's family came down Friday. His parents were down Friday, and some of his cousins were down Saturday. And the first thing a good Southerner does when somebody enters your house is try to give them some food and some sweet tea. Now, that's just what we do down here. You walk into your house and you automatically, can I get you something to drink? Here, I made some food. Why don't you sit down? Why don't you eat? Why don't you come and talk and fellowship? When we worship, think about it like God's food. He feeds off of our worship. He feeds off of it. He is enticed and drawn to our worship. We wouldn't go without somebody coming in our house without offering them some food. Why would we come into His house or into His presence without offering Him some praise? God is seeking for those to worship. Webster defined worship as to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. So when we worship God, we are loving on Him. We're not just singing songs, although music is a big part of worship. I was reading an article this last week about why people don't sing in church anymore. And, I mean, you remember back in the day whenever places, and some churches still have them, the hymnals, and everybody would turn to page 43, and you could hear them all the way out the door. Everybody was singing so loud. And it was talking about why people don't sing or worship in church anymore. I want us to be a church that prioritizes worship, because worship is the very heart of God. He longs for communion with us. He longs for communication with us. He longs for us to worship Him. Not just to go through the motions of worship, but to be plugged in and engaged in worship. Have you ever been driving down the road and you get to your house and you're not really sure exactly how you got there? It's just autopilot. I remember there was one time I was driving down the road and I was actually going to college that day, but all of a sudden I looked up. Well, I wasn't really looking down. I was paying attention to the road. My husband would tell you I might have been looking down or around, but this was before we had even met. But I looked up and all of a sudden I was at home. And I was like, now how in the world did I get here? My brain went on autopilot and I was just driving what was familiar. And many times when we come into church or when we get in our time to have quiet time with God, we just kind of do what's familiar. We just kind of go through the motions. We just kind of, we're just on autopilot, going through the motions. God wants us to quit living life on autopilot and to stop and get engaged in His presence. To focus on His presence. To focus on pouring out extravagant love on Him. To focus and submit to Him and His will and His way. Psalm 47:1 says, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph and songs with joy. Worship is more than just singing. It's clapping. It's raising our hands. It's shouting. It's dancing. It's rejoicing. It's being joyful. God is looking for us to be authentic with our worship. God wants us to prioritize worship. And as we go into 2016, I hope that you and I will put priorities on worship. Romans 12, 1-2 says, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and I beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, and consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, and intelligent service and spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world or this age. Don't be fashioned after and adapted to its superficial customs. But be transformed and changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new idea, new attitude, so you may prove for yourself what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even that thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. God is calling us to make a decisive dedication of all of ourselves to Him. And when we worship God, we are showing our dedication to God. When we worship Him, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice to Him. Putting away our ideas, putting away our moods, our attitudes, and taking on the mind of Christ and taking on His will and His way. God is looking for us to present ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice because that is an act of spiritual worship. When we say, God, You have everything. I give You everything. You have complete control. I surrender to You. And you know, when some people are worshiping God, they get, nervous about raising their hands to God. I don't know, I'm a little nervous about that. But I guarantee you, if somebody walked up behind you and stuck a gun to your back, their hands would fly up in the air. Why? It's a sign of surrender. Hey, I don't want any trouble here. I'm just surrendering. I'm not going to do anything against Your will. Whatever You want, it's Yours. And when we worship God, and we raise our hands to God, it's just a sign of surrender. It's just a sign of saying, God, I give everything over to You. I'm not holding anything back. I'm not hanging on to anything. God, I surrender to You. I worship You. I give You glory. Not my will, but yours be done. So I encourage you, if you've never raised your hands in worship, give it a try. Start when you're at home. I guarantee you, during the worship part of the service, nobody's paying attention. I promise. Just give it a try and surrender and worship to God. God is looking for us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to Him. Not conformed to this world, not conformed to its traditions, not conformed to its customs, but conformed to the customs and the will of God. We are to be living sacrifices of worship to God, making worship a priority, even if we don't feel like it. Because we can worship more than just on Sunday morning. You can go home and worship. You can worship when you're driving in your car. Now, I don't suggest closing your eyes when you're driving down your car. That would be bad for everybody. But we can worship anywhere. Worship isn't just Sunday morning song service. Worship is a lifestyle and a priority that God wants us to make. Psalm 96, 4 through 9 says, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be reverently feared and worshipped above all so-called gods. For all the gods of the nations are lifeless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O you families of the peoples, ascribe to the glory of God and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him, reverently fear Him, all ye earth." So God is calling us to worship. Give the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him into His courts. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Revere Him, fear Him, reverence Him, respect Him, all the earth. God is calling us to walk in holiness, and He's calling us to prioritize His presence. Have you ever been in a moment where you knew that you were in the presence of God? There's nothing like it. Any stress, any concerns, anything that you have felt about what's going on in your life melts away in the presence of the King. In the presence of Jehovah is a place where God meets with us and we can connect with Him. And if you've ever experienced that, you want more. You want more. I encourage you to go deeper in your worship with God. Not just to worship on Sunday morning. Not just to worship when you feel like it. But every day walking out His presence. Every day walking out life in His presence. And it only comes through worship. When we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, like Psalm 100 says, we're worshiping. We're being thankful. That's the way that God told us to do it. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Be grateful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. God wants us to come before Him with thanksgiving. He's looking for us to enter into His presence joyfully. He's calling us to walk in holiness. Worship God with your holiness. That's what verse 9 says of Psalm 96. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship the Lord by walking in holiness, lining your life up with the Word, not trying to line up the Word with your life. Hebrews 13:15 says, "Through Him, therefore, let us consistently and at all times offer up a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify His name." So when should we worship? When should I worship the Lord? Well, according to Hebrews 13:15, consistently and at all times. God wants us all the time worshiping God. When we go to work, we should be worshiping God. When we walk down the road, we should be worshiping God. When we drive somewhere, we should be worshiping God. When we go to Walmart, oh Lord, we definitely need the Lord in the Walmart. We should be worshiping God. Everywhere we go, we need an attitude of worship and praise. Because when we have an attitude of worship and praise towards God, there won't be much room for any other attitude to creep in. God longs for us to be in an attitude of worship at all times, offering up a sacrifice of praise. Even if we don't feel like it. I found that even if I don't feel like worshiping God, if I will stop and focus on Him, that feeling of, oh, I don't feel like it right now, just melt away, and the Lord shows up. God wants us to be in a constant attitude of worship to Him. Hebrews 12:28-29. Let us therefore, receiving a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken, offer to God a pleasing service and acceptable worship with modesty and pious care and godly fear and awe, for our God is indeed a consuming fire. So offer to God a pleasing service and acceptable worship. God is looking for those to worship Him. God is looking for us to prioritize our worship to Him. Not only to prioritize our worship, but realize who we worship, the very person that we worship. Many people have their worship misguided. Some have it really misguided, and they think, oh, well, just the force within all of us, that's what we worship. Now, that's way far off the choo-choo train. You know, the tracks that we've derailed. Many people don't realize it, but they put things in front of God and they realize that they're prioritizing and worshiping those things instead of the Creator of all things. Whatever we put our time and our energy and our effort in, that is what we worship. What we spend most of our time thinking on and dwelling on, that is what we worship. We need to make sure that we meditate on the Word of God, that we realize who we worship. And when Jesus was talking with the woman at the well in John chapter 4, He realized very quickly that she was totally confused about who they were worshiping. Look at verse 20. Our forefathers worship on this mountain, but you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place where it's necessary and proper to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither merely on this mountain or merely in Jerusalem. You Samaritans do not even know what you are worshiping. You worship that which you do not comprehend. She was just doing things because that's what her fathers did. And many times in our Christian experience, in our life in Christ, we do things just because that's what Grandma did. That's what we saw Mom and Dad do. That's the way we done it for 1,000 years, and by golly, that's the way we're going to do it for the next 1,000. But God has clearly told us in His Word not to get caught up in the tradition of man, but to get caught up in the Word of God. And not to do things merely because that's the way they've always been done, but to do them intentionally, on purpose, and out of a heart of love for God. Jesus was telling her, listen, you're just doing this because your family's always done it. You don't even know what you're worshiping. You don't have a clue what you're worshiping. You're just doing something out of some tradition. God wants us to get a clue about who we're worshiping. And not just do things out of habit, but be purposeful and intentional in our praise to God. Jesus went on to say, we do know what we worship, we have knowledge and we understand. For after all, salvation comes from among the Jews. And the time will come, however, indeed, it's already here, when true, genuine worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people as these, as His worshipers. God is a spirit, a spiritual being, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. You know, Dad always said when he read this verse, look at the S's. The first spirit is a big S, meaning God is a spirit. He's a spirit being. But look at the second S. It's a little S. It's talking about in spirit, with liveliness, with action, with enjoyment, you know, and enjoy. God wants us to enjoy worship. He wants us to be lively in our worship. He wants us to be authentic in our worship. He's a spirit being, and He longs for us to worship Him authentically and lively, with liveliness. God is looking for us to be authentic in our worship, to be real with God. He's looking for true worshipers to worship Him in spirit, in liveliness, and in truth, in authenticity. In this new year, God is not looking for us to go through the motions in our life with Christ. He's looking for us to dig deep and be real, real people. Many times, Christians are known for, and you know, people say all the time, well, I can't come to church because that's a bunch of fake people, the most fakest people. Now, that's not always true. There's fake people everywhere. There's fake people at Walmart. There's fake people at the job. There's fake people everywhere. So that's not an excuse for not coming to church. If you're going to avoid all fake people, you just better sit at home in your bubble and order something off of Amazon and never go anywhere. But God is looking for us to be real with Him. Have a real relationship. To not just go through the motions, but be intentional about everything that we do. What would happen if next time when we gather for worship, we came in with the joy of the Lord within us? We came in ready for worship. We came in excited about getting in the presence of God. We came in ready to sing praises unto Him. We came ready to lift our hands and to praise His name, to clap our hands, to shout to the Lord, to dance before Him, to just honor and give Him glory. What kind of shift in the atmosphere would happen if we all came ready to worship? I encourage you to try it. Your whole experience, your whole Sunday morning experience will change if you walk in the doors ready to worship. Maybe put worship music on at your house while you're getting ready and pray and thank God for giving you another opportunity to wake up and serve Him. Maybe sing a song, you know, while you're putting on your makeup, ladies, men, don't be putting on, but while you're putting on your makeup and getting ready, you just singing to God. And praising Him and thanking Him. What a way to start your day. That would completely shift the dynamic of your day. We say, oh, I don't have time to worship God, but we make time for what we want to make time for. I guarantee you, if it's something that you or I really want to do, we would shift the entire schedule to find time to do it. God wants us to be so longing for His presence, so in tune with His presence, that we will shift our schedule to prioritize it and make sure that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is calling us to know who we worship and to not do things just because that's the way things have always been done, but to do things out of an authentic love for God. It's commanded by God in Exodus 22-5. I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods besides me. You shall not make yourself a graven image to worship it, or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. So he says, I'm the Lord your God. You will not worship anything else beside me. And many times, our worship is directed at trying to get something from God. God is looking for us to worship Him simply because of who He is. Not what He can do for us, although He does do things for us. But don't let that be the intention of our worship. Let it be out of love for who He is, not what He does. Many people, when they're seeking God, they just seek His hand. They just want what He can do for them instead of seeking His face, His presence. God doesn't want us to get caught up in the presence, the things, the blessings. He wants us to get caught up in His presence, the blesser, the one who created everything. If you find yourself only coming to God when you need or desire something, I encourage you to come to God at other times. You may have been in a relationship before where you felt like that person only wanted to call you, only wanted to text you, only wanted to see you when they wanted something from you. Have you ever been in a friendship or a relationship like that? Where somebody, the person only came around when they needed you for something. And any other time, you were dead to them. They didn't know who you were in Walmart. They were hiding out in the frozen peas and carrots when they saw you. But the only time they wanted to see you is when they wanted something of you. How did that make you feel? Whenever you saw them coming, and it was just like, what do they want now? Now, I'm not saying that's how God does us, because He loves us and He's God and He's a lot better than us. But wouldn't it just be a blessing to God if we came to Him more than just when we needed something? If we came to Him on a regular basis, if we checked in on Him, if we asked Him how His day went. God is longing for communion and fellowship with us. He's longing for us to know who we worship. He's longing for us to know Him. That's why He created man in the first place. When they were in the garden, the presence of the Lord was thick in the garden. He created man for fellowship. He created man for communion with Him. He longs for communion with you. So we have the priority of worship. We have the presence, knowing who we worship. And then we have the promise, or the person of worship, and then we have the promise of worship. Exodus 25:8-9 says, let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. And you shall make it according to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle, or the dwelling, and the pattern of it all, the furniture of it. So He was telling the children of Israel, make me a dwelling place in the midst of you. Make me a dwelling place in the midst of you. This was before the Holy Spirit was given. Now that we have the Holy Spirit, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit dwells in and among us. We need to make God a dwelling place. Psalm 22:3, "But you are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered up." God is seeking a dwelling place. And the promise of worship is when we key in and when we focus in on worshiping God, He shows up. His presence is near us. His communion is there. His fellowship is there. Look at Jeremiah 29:11-13. "For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans of welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you a hope in your final outcome. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear you and heed you. Then you will seek me, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart." God is looking for us to search for Him, to require of Him, to find Him necessary. And that will only happen when we have a constant place of worship for God. When we're constantly prioritizing His presence. When we're constantly learning more about the person that He is. Then we have the promise that He will dwell among us. He says, "I stand at your door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. I will come in and hang out with him and make a dwelling place in and with him." God is standing at our door this morning knocking, wanting fellowship, wanting communion, wanting friendship and companionship. How will we answer the door? Will we answer the door with a place of thanksgiving? Will we enter His courts and His presence with praise? God is seeking for those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's stand.
Thank you for joining us today. We would love to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004. That's P.O. Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas, 71657. Or you can email us at lci.monticello@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. You can also check out our website. It's www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find Pastor Kelly and Pastor Josh's sermon notes, and you can see what's going on all through the week at Life Church. We would love to have you in one of our services with us. Join us Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. for a worship service. Pastor Kelly ministers, and it's a great time in the presence of God. Or you can join us for Digging Deep on Tuesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Pastor Josh digs into the Word of God, connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament and giving us a fresh biblical perspective from God's point of view. We hope that you have a great week this week. Remember, go live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.